It's good. Where's Brother Donnie at? Brother Donnie, I want you and Sonia to sit right there, because for the next 55 minutes, I'm going to pour as much virtue out of God's Word concerning the topic of marriage that I can possibly pour into you. And this coming October, I will have had the blessing and privilege and honor to be married to my husband, Jeremy Kitson, for 11 years. And I thank God for him. And I thank God that he gave me half of a brain to learn how to not go with what my type is, because see, you don't know your type. You don't know that what you really need in a spouse, because see, we make mistakes. And the one thing that the devil can do to people is he can get you to pick the wrong person, and that'll be the only ministry that you ever do, because you're worried about them all the time. You're chasing them around all the time and all of that stuff, and your whole world just revolves around that one person. Your whole world should revolve around Jesus Christ, and you got to marry somebody that God tells you to marry so you can do other things and serve God with your spouse. See, life is not about anything else other than loving Jesus and loving your spouse and y'all loving him together. Now, it's going to seem like I'm just talking to you, and it's going to be because I am, okay? Because this service, this is all about you. There's not a better day for y'all to get married than today. So go with me to Genesis. We are going to look at chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 21. Now, for anybody that's ever heard my preaching, I'm going to give you a disclaimer, because I can see some new faces that's never heard my preaching before, and I don't want you to be alarmed, because some people get alarmed when they hear it, but I am not a sugar-coating preacher. I will not sugarcoat the Word of God for you. I will not twist it, Jody, to turn it around so I don't offend you. It's going to be, Holly, the Word of God exactly how it is, because I don't want anybody getting confused about what God is saying to do, about how God is calling each and every one of us to live. And so I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to preach it right from His Word. There will be no sugarcoating. It's going to be blunt and right to the point, because God has some things that He wants to do here this morning. And hey, it's going to start right here in Genesis. So let's look at 21. And we're looking about Adam and Eve. And it says, "So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man." A lot of people get very mixed up in relationships because, see, you think that you got to go out, Sister Heather, and just snag one up. That's where most people fall into error when you're talking about the topic of getting yourself a man or a woman. We get confused. See, it says that God brought the woman to him. If you will stand on what God's Word says for you, how to behave as a godly man and as a godly woman, you don't got to go chasing those folks down. God will bring you your spouse. He'll make sure that they're everything that they're supposed to be for you. Now, if you're anything like me, you're just a little bit nutty. Amen. Now, what does God do with nutty folks? Well, He gives them somebody extra grounded. My husband is just about one of the most sanest people that I know. That's an aspect and a detail that couldn't have been missed, because that's what I needed. See, God knows exactly what you need in your spouse. And if you marry a Christian person, a Christian man or woman of God, here's what you're not going to have to do. A lot of people think, I'll just marry them, and this certain thing I don't like about them, I'll change it. You're not going to change that person. But if you marry a Christian person, they're going to be able to hear God's voice. See, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. I can't tell you how many times Jeremy's gotten on my nerves. And I really cannot tell you how many times I have gotten on his nerves. More than he's gotten on mine, I promise you. Okay? But let me tell you something, Sonia, that I've never tried to do with him. I've never tried to change him, because I married a Christian, and I know that I don't have to try to change him, because he can hear God's voice. Jeremy was a Christian before I married him. Amen? And there's been certain things, Sister Stephanie, I said, God, please fix that in Jeremy. Hey, we came here to have church. We're not going to make pretend. We all have annoyances. Amen. But you know what, man? God will speak to that spouse. That's why it's important to marry a godly person. Amen. And it says, and the man said, the man recognized what God did. The man recognized that God brought him Eve. And I believe, Donnie, that you recognize that God brought you Sonia. Amen. And it says, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man. I'm going to give you one of the best pieces of advice that I could ever give a person that's about to get married, and it's this right here. She is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And he said that he called her woman. Now, I'm going to keep it real here today. I do not make pretend. I don't care if we got 17 visitors and one person that actually goes to this church. I'll still keep it real every day out of the week because that's what's going to go on up in here. She's bone of your bone. When we get in the heat of the moment in an argument, we forget about that. We're calling them everything but a woman. We're calling them everything but a man. Why am I preaching about this? Because that's what happens. We get in an argument with the person that God gave us, the gift that God brought us, and we're meaner to them, ruder to them than anybody else. Because why? Because we can get away with it. Amen? I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Donnie, if you want to have a happy life and a happy wife and a happy marriage, she's bone of your bone. That means she is a part of you. And you got to talk to her like that, and you got to treat her like that. Amen? Now, I'm not just going to pick on Brother Donnie here. We're going to get on with this, and we're going to pick on Sonia, too. We're going to pick on every other woman in here that's single or married and just needs a little straightening out. Let's go to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth, when I think about marriage, I love to think about Ruth because there were some very sweet things that went on in this account here in the Bible. And it says, now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Now let me tell you something about women. Brother Joe knows this. Women will take care of things even if they're not supposed to. You give us enough time and enough slack, we'll take care of it. See, Ruth was a woman. You didn't have to tell her to go pick up the grain, Mama Kay. She just did it. She did it. She knew that's what she needed to do to help her mother-in-law. Woo, there's a child there or something. You may want to move that out of the way. I like to run up and down these aisles. So she knew what to do, and she was out there, and she was picking up that wheat. And Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. And as it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, the Lord be with you. And the Lord bless you, they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, whose young woman is that? Now, let me tell you something. She caught his eye. She just did. From the moment that he saw her, he wanted to know, who's that? I mean, come on now. He wanted to know. Sonia, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Don't ever stop catching his eye. Love your man. You love her. Catch his eye. Love him. Amen. And the foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a small, short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field. Don't go away from here." See, he wanted her to stick around. See, we go on in this dating thing, and they catch our eye, you catch their eye, however that works out. God brings them to you, and you kind of like them to stick around. That's how it goes. That's how it plays out. You think, "Now, I really like that person. I want them to stick around. So, stay here with my servant girls and watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and drink from the water jars the men have filled." Now, what Boaz was doing was, from the very beginning, he was making a way for her. From the very beginning, he was providing for her. From the very beginning. He said, "Now look, you men, do not touch her. Do not mess with her. Do not harm her." See, it was not a normal thing that they just let these random folks come and pick up the scraps off the field. That wasn't normal. But he allowed her to do it because she caught his eye and he wanted her to stick around. Now look, if it's in God's word, I'm going to preach it. And here it says, "At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground and she exclaimed, 'Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?'" Now, I told her to always catch your eye. I'm telling you, notice her. Amen? See, there's little nuggets in God's word that if we will hang on every word that God says, you can have a healthy life. You can have a healthy marriage. You know how many marriages are split up just by those two points that I just pointed out? Catching his eye, noticing her. I would not have to preach about it if the same divorce rate that's in the world was not up in the church. I'm not talking about just this church, but I'm not excluding it. It's this church, it's that church, it's that church, it's in Chicago, it's in Washington, you name the country, you name the state, it's there. Because see, there's a problem with the Christian heart, and you got to get it right on the day one where you say, "Hey, I'm not going to marry somebody that God doesn't want me to marry. I'm going to listen to God when I think that I know best. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to put my ears back. I'm going to listen to God, because see, I know God knows what's up." And this heart, your heart can be deceived. And it will be deceived if you give it half a chance. Amen? And it will do it in relationships. I didn't get engaged 17,000 times just for the heck of it, Mike. I dearly thought I was going to marry each and every one of them. See, I'll preach my business. And I'll lay it out there because, see, I'm not ashamed to tell you where I've messed up. And I'm not ashamed to tell you where I got it right. Amen. Amen. You can learn where you want to learn from. And I'm telling you, notice her. Don't stop catching his eye. So Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law, and since the death of your husband, how you left your father and your mother and your homeland and came to live with a people that you did not know. And may the Lord repay you richly for what you have done. And may the Lord reward you, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eye, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant." You've given me comfort and you've spoken kindly. Amen. That's another aspect that fits so well with marriage, it's not even funny. Comfort one another. See, we're about to make a holy covenant where what makes her sad is going to make you sad. Why? Because you love her. She's bone of your bone. And what hurts her is going to hurt you. What hurts him is going to hurt you. See, it's not all this is Sonia's business and this is Donya's. You're one. Let me tell you what. Ain't nobody allowed to be mean to Jeremy but me. One time I got up in Walmart and this girl about 400 pounds, she thought she was going to give it a real good try. She said, I wish you would move your blankety blank over. And I whipped around and I said, what did you say to him? Now, I'm not your average preacher and I'm not going to try to be. That ain't my gig. Because I believe in saying it really how it is. I said, now, what did you say to him? She said, oh, I wasn't talking to him. I said, oh, good. Because I was fixing to act like a real nutball. Because ain't nobody allowed to talk to him like that but me. And I'm working on it because I shouldn't either. Amen.
Amen.
And so at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here and have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. See, he was wining and dining her. He was courting her. He was trying to catch her eye. He was being good to her. And it says, when she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain, and she ate all that she wanted and had some left over. And as she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. Now, this is a very big nugget for you, Brother Donnie, and you too. I can't tell you how many arguments I've gotten into in my married life about this very subject, and it's something that couples have to pay attention to. Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Amen? The little foxes spoil the vine. We can have a big marital explosion over something very small, like they embarrassed us. They made us feel some type of way. And we got to be careful about how we make our spouse feel. And we got to be careful to not embarrass them. Sometimes I get embarrassed about stuff, Donnie, that really should not matter one bit. It was just the way it hit me. You know, Jeremy does not understand that. I don't expect him to. You know why? Because I don't. You get me? But we got to be mindful of our spouses. Those of y'all that you've been married for a long time and you've been with your spouse, just because you've gotten used to them and they've gotten used to you, that doesn't mean that you need to stop noticing them. That doesn't mean that you need to stop catching their eye. It doesn't mean that you get to be mean to them and call them every name in the book. Doesn't mean that you get to fight and say things that you should never say, things you'll never be able to come back. No, that means more than ever before, you should work it out. I made Jeremy watch our wedding last night. He said, woman, I don't know why you're wanting to do that. You're not sentimental about anything. I said, I'm sentimental about one thing, you. I am not a very sentimental person. But when it comes to my husband, I would give my life for him any day out of the week. Any heifer wants to be mean to him in Walmart, I'm going to take care of it. And all you women that think that you won't, you give it a try. You know what I mean? But hey, you know what? I sat there and it was so funny. Jeremy, he came out of this store and he got to about right here. And this is on camera about 11 years ago. And Brother Donnie, he had blonde hair. It's all grayed out now. That was one of the costs that he gave up when he married me. I've turned it all gray. But he got right here. And he dashed up the stairs. See, he was ready to marry me. When I got up there, there was the one constant in that wedding video, and it was this right here. Here's what I was doing. Beautiful dress. Blinged out. This was what I was doing the whole wedding ceremony. I was flicking the beads of sweat that were rolling down my entire body off of me. Why? Because I felt like I was signing my entire life away, because I was. Because I said, from this day forward, I'm not going to love anybody else the way that I love you. I'm not going to cherish anybody else the way that I cherish you. I will not defend anybody else to the ump that I'll defend you. See, whether it's watching your old wedding video, whether it's seeing your pictures, or whether it's just looking over at them and they're holding them babies, and you think, when did my life just become about topics about did they have a poopy diaper or not? See, you get up in life and you forget about your spouse and you forget to notice them. You forget to cherish them. You forget to be kind to them. You forget that, hey, they don't like when you do such and such, so stop doing it. We forget those things and we wonder why the church has so much division, why it has so much divorce. It's because we're conducting ourselves the same way that the sinner does. And it ain't right because, see, they're looking at us for a difference and we ain't giving it to them. We're giving them exactly what they are and it's just not cutting it. Amen. We got to do better and we got to be men and women of God. There's a standard and God says that the standard is right here. Now come up. Woman up. Man up. People don't like that because it challenges them. I'm here to challenge you today. I'm telling every man in here, man up. I'm telling every woman up in here, man up. Woman up. Don't you be manning up. There's a difference. I'm not politically correct and I'm not going to try to be. It's not who I am. It's not the type of minister that I've committed myself to be. Yeah, I just said that. I'm not taking it back. It is what it is. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. And it says right here, he who finds a wife finds what is good. So, let me read that one more time because, see, this is your moment. For all you men out there, all you women out there, and you married or you're wanting to be married, listen here. He who finds a wife finds what is good. You found your good thing. God's brought it to you. You have found your good thing. And it's the most important thing to always treat them just like that. You're my good thing. When I'm mad at you, you're still my good thing. When I want to smack you, you're still my good thing. Now, I'm going to touch on another subject here most people would not do. I'm not most people. You get to a phase or a point or a argument sometimes, and it really gets the better of you, and you get all up in your feelings, and you throw out poison to your spouse. I'm leaving you. I'm divorcing you. This is done. See, you say that to somebody one too many times, they're going to take you up on that eventually. I'm going to say to every married person, under the sound of my voice, whether you're streaming this on the internet, whether you're listening to me on CD, whether you're sitting in the pew here this morning, or whether you're the couple about to be married by yours truly, do not fight like that. You will poison this. Don't ever let it come out of your mouth because the one thing that you can never do is bring it back. You can't. When it's out there, it's out there. Love them. You love her. Divorce isn't an option. Y'all going to work it out. Amen. Amen. Amen? And he receives favor from the Lord. See, there's a thing. Marriage is a holy covenant. God designed marriage. It's a holy covenant for the sinner, and it's a holy covenant for the Christian because it's a covenant nonetheless. It's a bond. It's a legal binding contract. You're saying, I'm going to stick it out through thick and thin with this person. Now, I'm not going to say you can never get a divorce because you know what? There are grounds for divorce. But I'm saying this right here. Marry the person that God wants you to have. If you can make that good decision the first time around, make it. If you're sitting up in here and you're on your second marriage, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you can save yourself the heartache, save yourself the heartache, because that's exactly what it is. It's gut-wrenching. Next place for me, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Sweetie, put that up for me, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. See, if she starts falling any type of way, I don't care if she's falling down the stairs or falling in life, it's up to you to pick her up. Same for him. We pick each other up. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. That's what we're setting up here today. Now, y'all come up here. I'm going to finish this part of the service. You can just sit right here. Let's come up here so everybody can see us. I need a man very quickly to move this. Joe Jackson, I think that's you. And I'm going to finish this up. So Donnie and Sonia, if you'll come and stand right here. And look at me, because I'm still giving you instruction. Right. I'm not done instructing. A threefold cord is not easily broken. See, if it was just you on your own, that cord could be broken easier than if it's you and Sonia. A threefold cord, you, Jesus Christ, and God, that's not going to be broken. Amen? That's what we're setting up here today, is a threefold cord. And what that means is we're not living our life like Jesus isn't in it. This marriage, from day one, God is in that. Right there, in that marriage. Do we agree? Just want to make sure. Let me tell you something. When I was walking down the aisle, my daddy said, "Now, if you change your mind about this at any point before you say I do, you just tell me, you just let me know." He gave me an out. I didn't take it because I knew I was marrying the person God wanted me to have. Ecclesiastes chapter 13, verse 4. I'm going to tell you what love is, and I'm going to tell you what love is not. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy your bone of each other's bone. There's nothing to be jealous about. There's nothing to be envious about. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. And it is not rude. So many times we are rude to our spouse. And we think, well, they deserve it. Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what they deserve. It matters what covenant that you made. And today, we're going over these things because for the rest of your life, other than your salvation, other than saying, I want Jesus to be in my life, this is the most important decision that you're going to make right here and now. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Marriage is work. And work and work. It is giving of yourself on a daily basis. The days you feel like it and the days you don't. Nonetheless, this is what you're getting into. And I don't mean that like a death sentence. I'm just saying this is what it is. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's a very tall order. Because the first time we get in an argument with them, what do we want to do? You did such and such last Saturday and it hacked me off. We want to keep that record of wrong. But see here, God's word, that's not how he designed it. He said, now look, I don't want you to keep a record of wrong. I want you to love each other. I want you to put me first. Don't be easily angered at them. Don't spout off at them. Love them because they're bone of your bone. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, and it always hopes, and it always perseveres. Love never fails. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Never let your love fail for each other. Now, sis, if you'll hand me that notebook. Sonia's saying, come on. So it is under my understanding that you wish to enter into the holy bond of holy matrimony. Okay. Y'all can take each other by the hand. Do you have rings? Okay. And you can have anybody up here that you want to have. This is your day. I'm going to put that right here in the middle. Make sure they have this on. Okay. Now, Donnie, I want you to repeat after me. You can hold Sonia's hand or you can do whatever you want to do. This is however you want to do it. I, Donnie William Core Jr.
I, Donnie William Core Jr.
Take thee, Sonia Elliott.
Take thee, Sonia Elliott.
To be my lawfully wedded wife.
To be my lawful
wedded wife.
Wedded wife.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better or worse.
For better and worse.
For richer or poorer.
For richer and poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
I promise to love you.
I promise to love you.
To cherish you.
To cherish you.
To honor you.
To honor you.
And keep you.
And keep you.
And forsake all others.
And forsake all others.
And to cleave to you.
And to cleave to you.
Today.
Today.
Your sorrows become my sorrows.
Become my sorrows.
Your joys become my joys.
Become my joys.
Your cares become my cares.
Become my cares.
And your children become my children.
Become my children.
Today I commit myself to you.
I commit myself to you. In the presence of the living God.
Our friends and our family.
And our family.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
Now, Sonia.
Yes.
There you go. Okay. I, Sonia Elliott.
I, Sonia Elliott.
Take thee, Donnie William Core Jr.
Thee, Donnie William Core Jr.
To be my lawfully wedded husband.
To be my lawfully wedded husband.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better or worse.
For better or worse.
For richer or poorer.
For richer or poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
I promise to love you.
I promise to love you.
To cherish you.
To cherish you.
To honor and keep you.
To honor and keep you.
To forsake all others.
To forsake all others.
And cleave to you only.
And cleave to you only.
Today your sorrows.
Today your sorrows.
Become my sorrows.
Become my sorrows.
Your joys. Become my joys.
Become my joys.
Your cares. Become my cares.
Become my cares.
And your children.
And your children.
Become my children.
Become my children.
Today. I commit myself to you.
I commit myself to you.
In the presence of the living God.
The presence of the living God.
Our friends. And our family.
And our family.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
Okay. Now we have the rings. Donnie, we're going to start with you. If you have Miss Sonia's ring, take her ring hand and place that ring on her finger and say, Sonia,
take this ring
as an expression of my love for you today.
Of my love for you today.
And always.
And always.
I pledge to always be faithful.
I pledge to always be faithful.
And for you to wear this ring.
And for you to wear this ring.
As a sign.
As a sign.
Of your love and affection.
Of my love and affection.
Okay. Sonia, take that ring and say, Donnie, take this ring
as an expression
of my love for you today,
and always.
I pledge to always be faithful to you. And wear this ring
as a sign
of the love and affection.
As the love and affection
that we have. Now, what most preachers do not do, and I do not feel led to do things how everybody else does them. If you love these two couple, I'm going to ask you right now to begin to pray. I'm going to ask you to stretch your hands forward and start speaking whatever tongues that you want to, however you want to pray. We're about to speak a blessing over this couple, because after this moment, they're going to be together, married in holy matrimony. Y'all take each other by the hand. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for Donnie and Sonia right now. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you, Lord, for every ounce of favor that you're pouring on their life right now. God, their family, God, and everything that they have need of, Lord, you know it. You've done established how to take care of it. God, I thank you for it. Lord God, I thank you for every bit of direction, God. Lord, I thank you that they walk in your divine will, God. They're where they're supposed to be at the right time in the right place. God, I thank you for every ounce of grace, every ounce of mercy, every ounce of provision, God. And I thank you for the blessing, God, that you're putting on their life and their marriage right now, God, in Jesus' name. And we call those things done right now in Jesus' name. Now, finally, what God has joined together. See, that's what it's about. That's what makes the difference between a marriage that's going to last and stay and a marriage that doesn't. But see, we've made that covenant. You've made it today, the two of you, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what God has joined together, let no man ever separate. And by the power vested in me by the living God in the great state of Arkansas, I now pronounce you husband and wife, and you may kiss your bride. There they are. And this is just an example of what God can do when people say, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to follow what God wants me to do, even if it's not what I want to do. I'm going to put Him first. And so today, with great honor and great privilege and great respect, I want to announce to you and introduce you to Mr. and Miss Donnie Core. Let's give them a hand.
Wasn't that interesting and wonderful? Now, we can, they'll be, Donnie and Sonia will be at the back of the church for a few moments. And if you would stand with us now, we're going to end this service speaking a blessing over everyone here. And if you would lift up your hands and receive this blessing from the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his power, his love, his patience and forgiveness, his direction and correction and his prosperity, and give you peace like never before. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.